Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, especially verse 26 from the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This is our text. Martin Luther sometimes accused his opponents of having another spirit or a different spirit. Now, he wasn't known for being kind and gentle in the way that he would speak of others or write about them. And this is a serious accusation because there's only one Holy Spirit. To have a different spirit would mean that they do not have the Holy Spirit, the one whom we confess in the Nicene Creed to be the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, and who spoke by the prophets. Saying that someone has another spirit means that they aren't following the true God, and they aren't listening to him, at least not in every way. It means that they've been led astray by a lying or deceitful spirit. But who would do such a thing? You know, the devil. He would do that. Of course he would do that. He did it with Adam and Eve, and he's continued to do it ever since. Consider what he did with Adam and Eve. He convinced them to abandon the word of God. God said, "You shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden." But the devil taught them to believe a lie instead. And he made it sound super spiritual. "Hey, Adam, Eve, you will be like God. Just forget all the things that God had said and listen to what I say." And so they did. They didn't listen to the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit didn't flow through them and move them to act in a way in keeping with God's word, but they listened and they followed the ruler of this world, the bringer of death. And you know how things unraveled from there. Next thing you know, they're hiding from God in the Garden of Eden. They're cowering in shame and guilt and fear. They're blaming each other. And that's certainly a different spirit. So what's the proof of whether something comes from the Holy Spirit or from a different spirit? It's important that we know this distinction. It all depends on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's Word, and God's Word delivers the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's Word. And God's Word delivers the Holy Spirit. We believe that all Scripture is inspired. It is inspirited. It is the breath, full of the breath and life of God. The Word and the Spirit go hand in hand. But if you do not have the Word, then you do not have the Spirit either. So if someone claims to have the Spirit, or even if they claim to have a word from God, but they can't demonstrate it from the Bible, if they cannot show you the text, then it's a different spirit. We can't simply come with our own ideas and say that such and such is from God. You know, there are people who do this. They have major television programs and networks and radio followings and published books in the Christian market, but all they're doing is they're bringing their own ideas and their own thoughts, and they're claiming that it comes from God. And it's also true that we cannot stand as judge over Scripture or the spoken word. This is another danger. People who claim to be Christians but then take the Word of God and explain it or stretch it to fit their own desires. that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't originate from us. He doesn't come from us. The Holy Spirit comes to us. He comes from the Father and the Son to us through the Word and the sacraments. If we want the Spirit to be in our lives, if we want the Spirit to fill us, we don't have to be looking for something amazing out there. All we need to do is open the Word of God and believe that this is the very Word that the Spirit breathes life into and then breathes life into us. We don't judge the Scriptures. The Scriptures judge us. We don't own the Spirit. The Spirit comes to fill us. And that's what concerned Luther so deeply about some of the teachers and churches of his day, from the Anabaptists on the one hand to the Romanists on the other. The way he saw it, they claimed the Spirit, but then they departed from the Word, teaching things that were above the Word or contrary to the Word of God. We should be on our guard as well, so that we do not get taken in by a different spirit. Our Lutheran confessions make this beautiful statement. They say, God does not wish to deal with us otherwise than through the spoken word and the sacraments. That's why our life together here, Sunday after Sunday, is so important and central for us, because this is where God comes to us in his word and holy sacraments, and this is how he wishes to deal with us. And this is where the Spirit is present through these means. We see a different spirit at work in many places, but if you consider especially our first reading today from Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, you see a different spirit all over the place. Just think about what that project involved. God had told Adam and Eve in the beginning, and Adam and Eve's descendants, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Spread out. Look beyond yourselves. Enjoy and rejoice in this creation that God has made. But when you get to Genesis chapter 11, they double down on going inward and upward. What do I mean by going inward? By going inward, I mean that they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to become great. They wanted to establish an eternal legacy. In a way, they were trying, you might say, to build themselves. And they turned upward. Upward because they were building to the heavens, attempting to link themselves with God, attempting to make their own path and connection to God. They wanted to be like God again. And that was the spirit at work, not the Holy Spirit there, but the spirit of the evil one, of Satan himself. That spirit was working to drive them away from the Lord God and from his word, even to the point of thrusting themselves above God, as if they could overcome him. The Spirit at work, turning inward and upward against God. What spirit or spirits do we see at work in our own time and in our own place and in our own lives? Do we see the Holy Spirit at work? God's word rich in our lives, his love and his mercy filling us and motivating us? Or do we find ourselves too busy for his word, closed perhaps to his word, unwilling to hear it and thinking that we know better? Or when we come across God's word, something perhaps that troubles us, do we seek to find a way to evade that word or to correct it or to explain it away? When there's a word of God that's poking at us, telling us that what we're doing isn't right, do we simply dismiss it and think that we're okay? Do we justify our actions by claiming that they're spiritual actions and that we are led by the Spirit? But you must find it in the Word. Do we put other voices and other words above his? The question perhaps today is, what word do we keep? Are we keeping our own word, our own counsel? Are we keeping the word and counsel of others? Or are we keeping the word and the counsel and counselor of Jesus? Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Such a beautiful promise. Make our home with him. But whoever does not love me, he says, does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You know, in all of our hymns and our readings today, so many of them are prayers to the Holy Spirit, saying, come and fill us, come and be at work in us. And those are beautiful and lovely prayers, and we should pray them. But at the same time, we should open the word. We should read it, mark it, learn it, memorize it, swim in it, and take it to heart, because that's how the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus had told the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. I always think one of the most challenging commands that the Scriptures give is the command to wait. We want to do. We want to be active. We want to be part of our own salvation and our own works, and God sometimes simply says, wait. For the apostles, it was 10 days of waiting. I wonder if they ever said on day 7, you know, we'll go another 3 days, and then that's it. Time to go fishing again. You will receive power, Jesus told them, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. 50 days after Easter, 10 days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit came. He descended on the gathered apostles like a mighty rushing wind coming down from heaven. And he empowered them to bear witness to Jesus. What did the apostles begin doing when the Holy Spirit came? They began speaking. Speaking not about themselves, not about their own thoughts or their own ideas. They began speaking the mighty works of God to the people around them in the various languages that they knew. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke of Jesus. He was the one on their lips and on their minds and on their hearts. And this is what Jesus had promised. He said, the Helper, the Paraclete, or Comforter, as we sometimes call him, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Son ascends to heaven, and the Spirit descends from heaven. For what purpose? To fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord, to make known the salvation of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us and to teach us and to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has done, everything he's done. With the apostles, they were the eyewitnesses, and the Holy Spirit filled them to speak these words to others. For us, the Holy Spirit inspired those same apostles to write it down. And that's what we have in the Scriptures. Everything that we need to know about what Jesus has said and done for us and for the world. And through that word, the Holy Spirit comes to deliver his gifts, to bring the forgiveness won by Jesus to you and me, to drive away the other spirits, the false and lying spirits from us, to make known the truth, to sanctify us and make us holy, and to give us peace. Jesus did what he was commanded. He died, he rose, and he ascended. And now he pours out this Spirit, this life-giving and forgiving Spirit on the church. And notice how different this is than the building of the Tower of Babel. The Holy Spirit doesn't turn inward and upward, but he comes downward and outward. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to our own holiness. He always draws attention to Jesus. You know, one way to discern which spirit it is, when you hear someone who's speaking about the Christian faith, ask whether they're speaking about themselves or about Jesus. And that will kind of tell you everything you need to know. Because the Holy Spirit is always drawing attention to Jesus. That's another thing that concerns me about some of the various groups in Christianity, especially the ones that are known as the charismatic movement. It often seems, not always, but often seems to me that they are looking purely inward and to something that is personal. They speak about the speaking in tongues as a particular gift that a Christian gets, but that gift doesn't edify or benefit anyone else. Rather than opening outward, it's a turn and a look inward. We don't need a spirit that turns us inward. We already spend way too much time looking at ourselves and thinking about ourselves. We need a spirit to pull us out, to pull us out of ourselves and draw us both to Christ and to our neighbor. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to give Christ to us and then to give our neighbors to us as well. It is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone who is able to free us, and I do mean us, from narcissism and self-absorption. And I use those words intentionally. If I had a dollar for every time someone mentioned narcissism to me in the last 5 or 6 years, well, I wouldn't be super rich, but I'd be a little richer than I am now. And you know, the thing is, every time I hear that word used, it's never someone coming to me and saying, "Pastor, I'm concerned that I'm a narcissist." It's always, "Pastor, you know, this other person in my life, I think I figured it out. I know what they are." And yes, it's true, there is a clinical diagnosis of narcissism that some people do have. But I think we ought to each look at ourselves and see the way that we are naturally bent and turned inward, and then take our eyes off ourselves and simply hear that word flowing to us and through us and in us and for us. That word that comes from the Spirit, that brings the forgiveness we so desperately need. The Holy Spirit comes down and goes out. Before Babel, it was "be fruitful and fill the earth." And then in Acts, it was "the mighty works of God being proclaimed in various languages." The Holy Spirit is a builder, not a builder of tower out of bricks, but building a temple for God out of souls. And each one of us is a living stone of that temple. And today, again, the Holy Spirit is coming to you through the Word and through these sacraments, and he is forming and shaping you to be that living stone, and he is building you into the temple, and he is using you for the kingdom of God. And that is the Holy Spirit at work. And so we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come to us through the Word and the sacraments. Open our ears that we may hear your Word. Open our hearts that we would be filled with your life. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus and see our neighbors. And turn us outward and not inward. Renew us and fill us with life. Turn husbands toward wives and wives toward husbands and parents toward children and children toward parents. And those who are single toward their friends and neighbors, and their friends and neighbors toward them, turn us toward each other with that same forgiveness and that same life and that same peace. For that is what the Holy Spirit brings from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Not a peace that is only external, but a peace that begins inside and flows out like a river of living water. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said, neither let them be afraid. For I ascend to the Father, And when I ascend to the Father, I send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit whom he sends to you, to me, to us, again this day, and will continue to send until the day when he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.